Dr. Hicks, many of us here in the United States have taken part in an online appointment with their doctor, but this concept's now being used to help people in other nations and even to share faith in Jesus as well. Help us understand how this came to be and how it works.
Before the pandemic, we had started looking at the problem of how can we get to hard-to-reach places that don't have access to any healthcare services. We were looking at places just physically hard to get to, or places in conflict zones, or places where there's large people movements, refugee movements, and things like that. So we started to develop this idea. Then the pandemic happened, and post-pandemic, we had far more people that were used to using that model to see a physician. So it became much easier to really start to implement wider. So before the pandemic, we had trained some field workers in how to use the equipment. And then we'd started to source the equipment. And of course, post-pandemic, the equipment's a lot easier to source and put together just telemedicine kits and be able to distribute them to our field teams around the world to be able to do a quick telemedicine clinic, to just like your regular volunteer medical clinic that you might go on when you do a mission trip, to be able to deploy very quickly without having to worry about a visa or an airplane ticket.
So a doctor stateside can get a blood pressure reading from someone in another country, like thousands of miles away?
Yeah, it's really quite amazing. I'm a pediatric nephrologist. I like technology anyway, but this tech is really pretty impressive. We can get a blood pressure. You just put the blood pressure cuff on, and then the doctor in the U.S. is sitting at their computer and can read that. To me, what's even more impressive is the stethoscope. A nurse or a trained person overseas can lay the stethoscope on the chest, and the doctor in the U.S. can listen to the heart, diagnose murmurs, things like that.
That's incredible. So what do you call this project?
I wish we had a clever name. We just call it our telemedicine projects. Yeah, we don't have a specific name. We're doing it in lots of different places and in Europe and Africa and Asia. So we don't have a specific name. We just call them our telemedicine projects.
That works. That says it. How do you pick the nations that are chosen to access?
Yeah, so typically we're looking at, there's a number of things that go into that. We're looking at places that have a need, that there might be an infrastructure problem, so there's not a healthcare system, or the healthcare system has been overwhelmed by a massive refugee movement or something like that. Those are the kinds of places that we're looking at.
Now, let's say the patient needs a prescription. How do you arrange for that to happen?
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways to address that. We want to make sure that everything is legal in the country that is the host country. So sometimes you can buy medicines locally and just dispense them from the clinic. Sometimes we have some of our telemedicine consultants actually have licenses in those other countries, so they can just write a prescription just like you would get a prescription from a doctor in the U.S. A lot of times we'll work with local providers. Usually those are junior providers, residents that are still in training. And our consultant will work with them for a treatment plan, and then they will handle the prescribing and of course, the follow-up for those kinds of plans. And sometimes our consultants are really just giving second opinions. They're seeing a patient that has a very complicated problem. And so they may give an opinion of this. These are the things that we would do. These are the tests that we would run. These are the kinds of medicines we'd be thinking about. And then we give the patient that information, and they can go seek care at a local institution if we're in a place where there are local care options.
On the doctor end of things, you know, who are the people that are working with you, and what are their skills and so forth?
If you're talking about the consultants on the U.S. side,
yes,
they tend to be generalists. We find that that's a really good, like a family medicine doctor, internal medicine, pediatrics, OBGYN, we find that generalists are better suited for this kind of thing. And most of them are physicians, but sometimes we're able to use mid-level providers like nurses, nurse practitioners, or physician's assistants.
In a story I read that caught my interest in what you guys are doing, I understand in one case, the daughter of a practicing witch doctor was actually helped by what was going on with telemedicine. Can you kind of share that and unroll it for us?
Yeah, it's a pretty unfortunately common story in a lot of more rural areas. She had pretty severe seizure disorder. The local system couldn't care for her. The witch doctor had done what he could do for her, and nothing was working, to the extent that this little girl was kind of marginalized in her own family. In order to keep her safe, they even had it to the point of having her chained kind of to the tree so she wouldn't hurt herself when she had a seizure. They went to the local church. This witch doctor went to the local church and asked for prayer for his daughter. And the church did pray for her and connected them with some of our International Mission Board personnel in the area who came. And fortunately, one of them was trained in our telemedicine. And so they brought the equipment and they did some testing, connected with a U.S. consultant, and were able to diagnose and begin treatment of her seizure disorder. Of course, gives the little girl back her life, because now she can go to school, she can interact normally as long as she's taking her medicine. And it really made a big difference in the life of that family.
Does this method of telemedicine allow for the message of Christ, the gospel, to be shared at the same time as you're doing a diagnosis? Or do you have to be very careful about that?
Well, it kind of depends on where you are, but typically we know that as physicians, we can take care of the physical need, the physical health problem, but the greatest need is lostness. The greatest problem in the world are people that don't have access to the gospel. And so we want to find ways to get that into all of our ministries. With telemedicine, it's no different. The patient will hear the gospel as they're on the intake, or they might hear the gospel as they're finishing up with the physician. Sometimes the consultant in the U.S. can share with the patient, but usually there's language issues. And so the national partners in the host country will share with the patients. They can share with them. They can pray with them. The other thing that we have done is when we're working with junior doctors, with residents, we can find ways to share the gospel with them. Our consultants can share with them directly because they're working with them on the patient, consulting with them.
All right. So I want to ask you a heart question, not physical heart, but a spiritual heart question. Why are you involved in this project?
My concern is, how can we be a part of the Lord's establishing and expanding his kingdom globally? I look at the example of Jesus and I see that most of the time when Jesus is telling people about himself, pointing them to God, he is also meeting their physical needs. As a physician, that's really how I got called into doing cross-cultural work and working overseas. And so now at a global level, I'm able to be involved in encouraging our teams, helping to resource them, helping to think through approaches that would be effective for to meet the physical needs, but also effective to meet the spiritual need.
So going back maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 years in the past, could you ever have imagined something like this taking place?
Well, maybe only reading science fiction, it's very exciting to have been allowed to be around during this time that we can really do clinic worldwide.
How could someone who's watching our story, listening to our story, come alongside to find out more information about what you do, to pray for you, and even help with the project? Where can they go?
Well, so the best place for them to go would be to go to our website. That's at the International Mission Board, so imb.org/healthcare. That gives all the information about all of our different kinds of projects, lots of different kinds of health strategy projects that we are involved in around the world. It gives the opportunity to find specific prayer requests there. And there's the opportunity to give there to help to fund these kinds of kits so we can do more of this.
All right. What would a typical kit cost?
I was surprised at how affordable they are. It's between $5,000 and $6,000. And that helps us put a kit together that has a stethoscope, an otoscope, which is the thing you look in the ear with, a blood pressure cuff, we can do an EKG through the kit, and then usually a tablet computer of some kind to drive it all.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, Dr. Hicks, I really appreciate you sharing your heart with us, telling us about this project, and this is really encouraging. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I always like to talk about what God's doing around the world.